All right. Now that we're in the mood, the mellow marketing mood. Yeah, we can't be mellow. We got to go for it. Greg Marshall is the chief storyteller at CI Design, a Milwaukee-based marketing and strategy company. Always love having Greg's insights, and I appreciate your time coming into the studio this beautiful Monday.
I love being here. Thanks for the invitation.
Of course. So this summer, the city of Milwaukee, a couple of older people looked at the possibility of a new rule requiring short-term rentals, kind of from an Airbnb standpoint in Milwaukee, be owner-occupied, must be the primary residence in order for it to be listed as Airbnb. This is the same approach used in Madison and a bunch of other communities. And now you kind of look at Airbnb and what it's doing on the national level, Greg. It's doubling down on its brand because there's more competition from hotels and niche hotels and a lot of other people in the space. What would you look for as an ad strategy for an established company like Airbnb?
Yeah, they're doing the right thing. You can invest a lot of money in performance marketing where you try to put your product in front of the consumer when they're looking for a thing. And that is great. But when you focus on brand awareness like they are right now, in other words, telling inspiring stories about guests, about hosts, what you're doing is you're creating a positioning in the audience's mind so that you're already in their head before they open a computer to start searching. Mm-hmm. And there's a sacrifice to that. And when you look at it from an 18 to 24 month period and then ultimately a 2 to 3 year ROI on the whole thing, then it starts to have massive value. But yeah, they're smart in what they're doing right now. It will help differentiate them.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, they have more competition than ever. Airbnb had this space for a long time, like, whoa, this is unique. Every one of these spaces is unique. I need to be there. And now the hotels are doing the same thing with luxury rooms or different designs or high-end this, subscription models, whatever it is. So how do you counteract that competition?
Well, a lot of the best ideas come from the paradox or the problem in the mix. And when you look at the challenge for Airbnb, it's that they don't just have guests, they have hosts, and they need to recruit both. And that poses a challenge, but it also poses an opportunity. Because if they do a good job telling stories, inspiring not just guests, but hosts with real stories about things that are happening in the homes, then you can turn the hosts into salespeople for you. More hosts talking about more homes means more momentum, and hotels can't do that. I think it's great that Airbnb put pressure on hotels to get better, and
yeah,
there's a response, and that's valuable for everybody. But yeah, they can approach it. They can combat that by taking seriously the two audiences that they have and being all about storytelling and meaningful connections.
That rising tides should lift all boats, and that's the way it should work out. In the first half of this year, the company's sales and marketing spend rose almost $1.08 billion, up almost 14% from the same period over 2023. So they also have a healthy budget to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and it's going to cost more for a couple different reasons. One, they have to create a lot more inspiring content. So I imagine a large portion of that's just going to be going towards making beautiful things. And they'll see probably a dip in some of their performance marketing, like being able to track, okay, this person clicked this and actually rented a spot. That's going to drop for a little while. But over time, yeah, the investment, I believe, is going to be worth it. And you see it with Nike. I read an article recently about their massive dip, which came from being only about measurable things.
Right. They focus totally on e-commerce and on sales, and driving.
Yeah, and it didn't work because the most valuable actions are the hardest ones to measure.
Yeah.
And you can be all about the measure, which I love. I love being able to measure results,
right,
but in the right context.
All right. When we come back, baby boomers and online sales. How do you sell to America's richest generation, the baby boomers, in today's e-commerce world? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Is your shower and or tub space looking like it could use an update? It might be. WDMJ and Sidex have paired together to give your shower or tub conversion a chance, a fighting chance. This is your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do, you take a picture, you text the word creepy and the picture to the WTMJ talking text line at 855-616-1620. Submit your picture and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. Full contest rules are at our website at WTMJ.com. Back with Greg Marshall, a Marketing Monday focus. So, Greg, you look at kind of generational research online. When it comes to online marketing, it's mainly focused on the Zoomers and the Millennials. And that makes sense. But when kind of you look at digital transformation, it's all about how do you get the older populations? And it really made me think, how do we best market to baby boomers in an economy that really is all digital, but the baby boomers are still kind of, they're digital, but they're a little bit more old school. How do you tackle the marketing to baby boomers at your company?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to just remind yourself that $70 trillion is available through the boomers, and they are, in fact, more tech savvy than we give them credit for.
Yes.
And, you know, they just look for different things. And yeah. So they want to, they're willing to read a longer explanation. They aren't as influenced by an influencer as they are by, you know, a stamp of certification and years in business and things like that. But yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunities to engage with boomers in the tech world in ways that, you know, honor them where they're at and what they're actually interested in.
Yeah, and they're also, it's a pretty, I don't know if frugal's the right word, but I think it's a value-based generation, and I think you're going to see that coming with holiday marketing, too, that it's going to be very, very price-driven. You agree?
Yes, but also, like you said, value-driven, not just monetary, but values, and what the boomer generation values is an active life. They don't want to be spoken to like seniors. It's not about anti-aging. It's about how do I live this adventure that I'm, help me live this adventure. And recognizing that boomers are not just going to Facebook to look at pictures of their grandkids. Like they're engaging, sharing, commenting. Even just the other day, my 80-year-old uncle texted my mom with an LOL. You know, it's not it's not quite a laughing face emoji, but they're in that space. And I think it's yes, value monetarily, but also do you see me? Are you talking to me like how I see myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think authentic, informative content wins the marketing game no matter what generation we're talking about.
Yeah, and with boomers, video is killing it, but not the 15-second flashy thing. It's more of like the 2 to 3 minute video that teaches something valuable.
Yeah.
And so I just think there's, if you just think about how somebody feels about themselves and you create for that person, you're going to have traction.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on what we're going to see kind of post-election from a holiday advertising standpoint. Much like our Airbnb conversation, you have the algorithms driving advertising, but you also have meaningful relationships and that type of advertising, but it's still a really crowded marketplace, so brands have to adapt and stay ahead. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Greg Marshall, marketing expert from CI Design. So, Greg, this year, you know, the holiday rush is going to come fast and furious, especially after the election. And I don't think it's all going to be about sales. I think it's going to be about kind of how do brands have that fine line between promotions and what our feed is going to show us, but then really being meaningful in terms of telling their stories to shine in a crowded marketplace. What are you seeing? Are Black Friday and Cyber Monday still going to be the launch points? And is anything going to be different about holiday advertising this year?
Well, regarding Black Friday and Cyber Monday, they're still significant, but the ROI formula is different because there's just so much competition. So a lot of businesses are shifting to focusing on the week before and even after.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still relevant at this point, but I think you're going to see who's desperate and who has spent the time to build relationship with consumers. Because when a business has not spent the time building brand awareness, they become very, very focused on price on every level. And you just see that anxiety come across versus the brands who are kind of chill, bringing more inspiration and attaching it to deals, but not overly anxious about it. So it'll be interesting to see how companies are relating to their audiences.
You think there'll be increased ad fatigue just coming out of election season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how there isn't without elections. I mean, it's insane how many ads are out. But one thing I thought was interesting was, you know, Meta, obviously costs went up significantly because of elections, but Pinterest and TikTok were more stable, and so and there's less political saturation.
Yeah.
So you like some businesses have been shifting budgets over there, and obviously after the election, that'll shift back. But I think a lot of people are just kind of bracing themselves, like holding on to the table, like, what's going on?
Take a deep breath. What's about
to happen with the election? Are we going to deal with another thing after the election because of the election? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, you have some marketing for yourself coming up. You have a one-man show that you're doing with the Pabst Theater Group. Tell us about this a little bit and what inspired you to put it together.
Yeah, well, every day I help companies create a story, help tell their true story, and make it inspiring, make it practically valuable. And those skills come out of love for doing it in general. And this last year, I gave a lot of thought to what do I want to create. I'm helping all these other startups and different types of businesses to launch their story into the world. And I was like, I want to create again. I used to be a performer of music.
Okay.
And I was getting that itch of, I just want to create. And when I asked myself, what would I like to do? I realized it's a mix of storytelling and music, and I got interested in this concept of a one-man show and decided to write one. And I felt like when I started to intentionally do it, I realized that I had been doing it for a long time. I just haven't put it down in this way.
Yeah.
So I did a practice run of the performance for like 80 people in my backyard, invited a real diverse spectrum of people to see how it would hit. And it went really, really well. And so now, I'm performing it at Vivarium Theater. Okay. It's part of the Pabst Theater Group.
On November 18th.
Yep. Eastside Farwell. It's a really cool spot. Yeah.
And what do you want people to take away from the show? People buy tickets, they come to Greg's show, they're like, all right, what do you want them to leave with?
It's just going to feel good. It's funny. It's deep. You're going to feel deeply. You're going to laugh. And ultimately, I think you'll walk away being glad that you came because it's inspiring. And I feel like it's sort of soul and imagination cleansing. Like you just kind of walk out feeling good.
All right, very good. That's what we do on The Upswing. Content and community, making people feel good. That's what we're all about.